Reformed Church.
The interesting thing about cares is that any time that we're taking care, right, there's a couple things that we're automatically not doing when you're taking care. Is that, it's kind of almost literally, if you think of it this way also, like taking care is like you're trying to take care of it. Right? I'm not saying it means the same thing. I'm saying it's along the same lines for as far as what I'm talking about, right? That when you're taking care of something or taking care for something, you're actually trying to figure out how to take care of something. So there's really normally not a time where you're concerned about something that you're actually acknowledging the finished work of Jesus at the same time, right? Because acknowledging what Jesus has done eliminates care because you're looking at what he did, right? So when you look at what he did, it takes away your care of it, because why would you have to care for something that he's already taken? But when we don't have a full revelation in any area of our lives, then obviously the lack of understanding or full revelation of what he's done, or having become fully established in an understanding of what he's finished, makes us have, you know, what people would call worry or taking care or taking thought, right? We begin to, you know, even along the lines of taking thought, right? You begin to lean on your own understanding instead of acknowledging the Lord and allow the Lord who circumcised us, right, to be able to bring to your heart the things that you ought to be thinking about, right? Because it's not about not thinking about anything, and it's not about not doing anything. It's about allowing the one that has possessed us, right, to be able to give us the right things to think about, to begin to acknowledge the Lord, to begin to pray, right, and allow him opportunity, right? So that way he can sow into your heart, he can remind you of things, right? It's an interesting thing that when you look at Matthew, we probably won't go there, but in Matthew 13, he talks about in the parable of the seed and the sower, how there is one type of soil that receives the word of God, but because of the cares of this life and because of the desire for other things or whatever, but basically taking care for earthly things, it chokes the word of God. But that stands to reason, right? When you're taking care, whether it be worry or you're just absorbed with earthly things, right? It goes back to the what we were talking about several services ago about earthly thinking and heavenly thinking, right? That you can't think earthly about something and at the same time think the thoughts of God on something. But that it is really in the acknowledging of the Lord, right? And I know we've talked about acknowledging the Lord in all kinds of different ways, but it really always goes back to the same thing, right? Looking at what it is that the Lord told the people of Israel, which applies to us. What is it that he requires of you, right? Is the Lord requiring of you that you figure everything out and that you have a plan for everything? Is the Lord asking you or requiring of you that you heal yourself, that you follow such a lifestyle, right, that because of the way you've been living, you have a right to live healthy? Like, is the Lord requiring of you that you put in X amount of effort on your part and that you exhaust yourself in certain avenues? And if you do that, and if you push yourself to certain limits, then, you know, you'll see the blessing of God, or you'll see the operation of the Spirit of God in your life, right? That's not at all what he requires of us, right? It's interesting that he said of Mary, he said, what she found, no one will take from her, right? What she has found, in other words, to Martha, he said, you're so thoughtful about so many things. You're so careful about so many things. You're so caught up with so many things. But yet, even though you're complaining about her and you want to bring her to where you are, what she has found, I'm not going to let you take that from her, right? What she has found, I'm going to let her know that's the one thing that is important, is for her to sit at my feet and listen to me and learn from me, right? And that what you're requiring and what you're trying, the burden that you're trying to put upon her, I'm going to make sure that she knows that's not what I'm asking of you, right? Because the central figure in that household that day was Jesus, right? He was a central figure. But the thing is, some people have Jesus as a central figure of who they have to listen to and hear. And some people have a central figure of Jesus of who they have to serve with their works and their efforts, right? And those are two different things. And even though they think that they're being Christ-centered, right? That's not the same thinking, right? That's not the same thoughts. That's not the same teaching that the Spirit of God is trying to instill in our mind, right? So it's in that taking care, right, of, you know, not even acknowledging or recognizing, right, that we have been circumcised of heart, right? And because we've been circumcised in our heart, there is no need, right? In other words, when the Lord circumcised us in our heart, he's telling us, you know, this is not your job anymore. Like, this is, your thinking is not up to you. Your thinking, if you want to think for real, if you want to have thoughts, listen, if you want to have thoughts that are profitable, right? If you want to have thoughts that are profitable, because, right, Romans 3 talks about we have all become unprofitable, right? Everyone has gone their own way. They have all become unprofitable. But what that's talking about is, right, we had all become unfruitful, completely and totally unfruitful. In other words, not being able to bear fruit, not profitable. But why were we not fruitful? Why could, because we had all one thing in common, we didn't have Jesus, right? And without Jesus, right, he tells in John 15 that we can do nothing. So we can't be fruitful without him, right? We can't be fruitful without him. So since we can't be fruitful without him, that's why he says you have all together, all of you become unprofitable. There is no fruitfulness that will come from you, right? I'll read you one verse, which I thought was pretty cool. In Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 1, this is... New King James, this is. He says, if you will return, he's speaking to Israel, right? He says, if you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him. That's interesting, right? And in him they shall glory. For thus, it says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. And that's, the fallow ground is like untilled ground, right? Ground that has not been tilled. You almost, you know, I this is more opinion because I really don't know, but it sounds right in line with like the hard soil, right? Like untilled sounds to me like the seed falls on top of it and it's just, there's no coming in, right? But he says, break up the fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. And that's really very, very similar to, I think it's Matthew 13 we were referencing before, right? Do not sow among thorns, right? Because when you sow among thorns, right, when you're hearing the word of God, but your care is on physical things, when your care or your worry is about natural things and not acknowledging him, right, that word is just choked, right? There's nothing, you can hear it all day long, that's great, but without you letting go of your care, right? The Lord says, cast your care over on the Lord because he cares for you, right? The Lord has shown already in the cross, the Lord has shown clearly his care for us, right? So you know that your care can be let go when you what? And he actually says it in the very next sentence. He read it from break up. It says, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, right? So he's telling them, if your heart can become circumcised, right, then he says you'll be fruitful. If your heart can be circumcised, then you'll be fruitful, right? But if your heart is not circumcised, right, you'll sow, but you're sowing among thorns, therefore there'll be no fruitfulness, right? So it's, you know, there was something, I don't know, I think Pastor Mike was talking about, I don't know if it was service or the service before that, but, right, about people that attend church and they think, oh, well, just because you attend church does not equate to salvation, right? But by the same token, just because you attend church or you hear the word of God, it doesn't mean that equals fruitfulness, right? Because there are many types of mindsets, right, that will inhibit your fruitfulness, right? And the cares or carnal thinking or earthly thinking is one of those things, right? But our job, again, is not to fix your carnal thinking, right? The Lord is not requiring of you, you fix your carnal thinking and don't think carnally anymore, right? He just lets you know carnal thinking leads to death, right? Carnal thinking leads to unprofitableness, right? Unfruitfulness. But he's not telling you to fix that. He's just saying, if you would return to me, right? If you were to the unsaved, the Lord says, if you come to me, you will find rest for your soul. Here he tells Israel, if you return to me, right, you'll find rest for your soul, because that's what circumcision of the heart does to your soul, right? It gives you, you're able to have, not that we always do, but you're able to have rest for your soul, right? He's given us rest for our soul. We could take advantage of the rest that he has given our soul and allow him to be the one to teach us, right? And that's why he says, come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, learn of me, for I'm lowly and gentle in heart. So he's saying, if you let me teach you, if you let me teach you, you'll find rest, right? So it is really in listening to the Lord. It is really in hearing him, allowing him the opportunity to be the one to take command of our heart and mind, right? Let him be the one to give you the thoughts to think on, right? Let him be the one to give you the thoughts to think on. And there is plenty that we have learned ourselves that can give you a jump start, right? If you just don't know, right? If you, you can begin to talk or pray a lot about the things that you learn. And if you don't, can't remember anything, just start praying in the spirit, right? And initially, you won't be profited, right, in your mind, but the Lord will then begin to bring things up to your mind, right? He'll. The point is, though, that there is, to understand, like, the things that he's requiring of you, the fruitfulness that he wants for all our lives, right? But when you think about cares, right, like, what is it about cares? And there's really no way that carnal-mindedness does not lead to caring, right? Because that's what you do. When you're thinking, when we think carnally, we are thinking, right, on earthly things. Therefore, that's where your care will be. Therefore, that's where your treasure will be. That's where the things that you value will be, right? And obviously, not that these are not things that I believe that Christians do intentionally. I don't think that Christians set out, you know, I'm just going to think carnally just because I feel like it, right? We all want to grow to know the Lord more. We all want to know him more, to have him more active in our lives. But the problem is that when we don't go back and keep going back to what is it, Lord, that you require? What is it that you are asking of me? We will think in our own mind that we're doing the responsible thing by caring, by worrying, right? I mean, there's an example, and I'll stop here, but there's an example that it's hard for me to, it's like the first example that always comes to my mind is because I always used to hear women around my mom and just even moms in general in as I was growing up, just always wear like the badge on their chest of worry, right? That a mom who loves their kids worries about her kids, right? And then they suffer from illnesses and stuff and ulcers and all kinds of stuff because they just worry about all kinds of things. Their health is affected, all kinds of stuff going wrong. And this is just one little example, right? But the thing is, anytime that our care is first and foremost in our mind, and then we continue that, you know, you can actually get to a point where you think that the care that you're taking for something is actually noble, right? That you take such precise care to do this, to take care of this, that you are, there are people that say, you know, they take great pride in the fact that the way that they do their job, they're so meticulous, and I am so, you know, I am so meticulous, and I am such a perfectionist, and I'm such this or that. And all it is, you know what? You need to have your hands on everything. And if you don't have your hands on everything and don't feel like you're in control of everything, right? And these are Christians that we're talking about, right? That feel, oh, I'm such a perfectionist, I'm such this, I'm such that. It's not an excuse for us to be lazy people that just don't care about the way anything comes out and just do everything our own way. But the point is, though, that if we acknowledge the Lord, right, and allow him to be the one to teach us, allow him to be the one to show us, right? Allow him to be the one to bring to our hearts the things that are needful, right? That's the thing that's pretty cool about him addressing Mary, is that he said, she has found that thing which is needful, and it'll not be taken from her. You know, like when you find the way we have heard, we know the thing that's needful. And there are things that you hear on the radio. There are things that you hear from people. There are even thoughts that you have yourself that lead you to believe and to question the fact that there must be something else that you should do more than what Jesus said is the one thing that's needful. Because I don't know if it's because we think like it must be too easy or it can't just be that. It must be with all Christians in the world doing all this stuff. We can't be the only ones that are right. There must be something to what other people are doing. But the thing is, it's not about comparing yourself with the results that other people are or aren't getting in their lives. It's what is it that the Lord said is the one thing that he's requiring of you? What is it that you see time and time again that God says, that he says, you know, this is what I am telling you that I require of you? You know, and I think he tells them the very, very similar thing, if I'm not mistaken, in like Deuteronomy 30, you know, and Deuteronomy 10, where he reminds them, like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? Just to love him, right? Just to love him.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.